Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
Welcome to Ask Margaret from What Fresh Hell, laughing in the face of motherhood, answering your parenting dilemmas one question at a time. Today's question comes from our Facebook group. If you are not in our Facebook group, come and join us on Facebook, facebook.com/whatfreshhellcast. And then you can click on community, or I think it's facebook.com/groups/whatfreshhellcast. You can find us. I have all the faith in you. Come join us there. It's a great conversation between all the moms who listen, and they're giving each other advice and they're helping people out and they're asking us questions. Like today's that comes from Kristen, who asks, how much input should I have on my kids' choice of friends? Oh, Kristen, I've asked this question to myself, and I'm afraid the answer is not going to make either one of us super happy. The amount of input you should have on which kids your kids choose to be friends with is pretty much zero. It's very, very close to zero. You don't get a lot of input on this. And I know it's hard because we worry about our kids. We worry about our kids' choices. But I think a good way to think about this is advice that my mom, who was a family therapist and gave this advice to a lot of people, including myself, and is very helpful, is that the only thing you can address about other people is their behavior. You cannot address who they are fundamentally as people. So we don't say to our husbands when we're angry with them, as much as we might want to, we try not to say to them, you are so lazy, you never do anything. You can instead address the behavior by saying, hey, if I'm getting up at 7, I need you to be up at latest by 8 o'clock so that you can be helping me, because otherwise I spend all the hours that you are asleep in the morning plotting the various ways that I could do you bodily harm, and that's not good for our marriage. To the friend who shows up late, you can say, hey, I'll wait for you from 3 o'clock till 3:10 if we're supposed to meet at 3, but at 3:10 I'm going home. And so if you're not there by then, I'm going to leave. But you don't have to say, you are a very thoughtless person who is always late. We just address behavior. And this is a similar concept to our kids when they pick friends. It is very, very tempting to say to your kids, I don't like that you're friends with that kid. That kid is obnoxious. I don't like that you're friends with that kid. That kid is a bad influence. But if we just address behavior, we can address everything we need without putting our kids in the corner of being really defensive about their friends. A lot of us had friends growing up who we felt our parents didn't like. Our parents probably vocalized that they didn't like them. And it rarely leads to the feeling of like, you know, great point, mom. I guess I'll stop being friends with this person. It leads to the feeling of you're judgmental, you're small-minded. And honestly, sometimes we are. Sometimes we are making bad choices for our kids. Sometimes we think, oh, you should be friends with that kid who's in the chess club. He seems really smart and nice. We don't know that kid. Like, maybe the fact that he's in the chess club is not completely definitive of his personality. And so what I try to do with my kids is address behavior. I did not like it when I heard your friend using a curse word in the backyard. I really think that's disrespectful to our house. That's not how we behave here. I will, of course, go to that kid when they're over and say, hey, cut it out. We don't use curse words at my house. And if you're using them, I'm going to call your mom and have her come pick you up. And so that keeps us out of the thing of that kid's a bad kid. I don't know whether or not the kid's a bad kid. I just know that he absolutely 100% has to stop using curse words at my house. Similarly, if you're seeing behavior that Your kid is sneaking out with that friend. Your kid is grounded. You can deal with your kid and you can say, I really am disappointed in both of you for doing that. And here is your consequence. And so you're really addressing the problem without getting into a dynamic about debating with your kid whether or not you like the other person. Another suggestion that I really like on this topic is, and listen, it's COVID, so this is advice more for the after times, but even now, try to keep your kid involved in a variety of activities, because what is going to happen inevitably is that they are going to have friends who you don't like, friends who are giving them a hard time, friends who are a pain in the you-know-what in certain realms of their life. So I know for myself, this happened to me at school. I had a falling out with this one or that one, or I was fighting with these people, or I was getting bullied, but I had other activities. Then I would do gymnastics. I wasn't good at anything, but I did gymnastics for a little while. I did ballet for a little while. I was in the theater club for a little while. And I would have friends in other realms of my life. I was always really close with all of my cousins, pretty close with my siblings as well. And so I wasn't limited to only the influence of one sphere. And so that's something to keep in mind, that if you're seeing like, it's just my kid and this kid who I think has really bad behaviors and they're spending a lot of time together, try to find other places where you can put other kids in your kid's path. And then the other thing you can really help to do is keep giving them perspective. We know that whatever we say negatively about friends who they value is not going to go well. But this is bigger conversations. You know, I worry about that behavior because it does make it harder. I want to be able to trust you. When you're in high school, I want you to be able to hang out with your friends. I want you to be able to go do all the fun things that you want to do. I want you to be able to do all the fun things you want to do. And if I see the kind of behaviors that I'm seeing from this other kid, then we've got to get into the whole thing where you've got to have a curfew and we've got to lock it down and I can't let you go out unsupervised. And so I think when you broaden the perspective a little bit on like behavior has consequences, this is the realm you can control. And we're very big on the podcast on what can we control here and who your kid likes, wants to be friends with, wants to date. So we got to stay within our sphere of control. And that is consequences for any behavior your kid engages in, consequences for anybody who is acting up in your house, and then lots of talking and perspective and lots of different varieties of activities so that your kid has more influences in their life than just maybe one or two kids who you're not that fond of. Kristen, I wish the answer was you can always control everything your kids do, especially the punky kids who they want to be friends with, but we're going to have to figure it out another way. I hope that helps. And if you have a question for myself or Amy, you can ask them on our Facebook group. There's a thread there. Just search question of the week and you'll find the thread to ask questions. Or you can always email them to us at questions@whatfreshhellpodcast.com and we may answer them on an upcoming episode. Thanks for listening.
Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors, and somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting Podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.